and welcome back to Layover Podcast. This is season 8, episode 5.
You got it.
That's right. Yeah.
You did it. This is the longest we've ever gone between recording podcast episodes because we batch recorded ahead of all the holidays and now it's the other side of the holidays and we're back. We are so back, in fact.
We're some of the most back anyone's ever been.
And I don't want to delay getting to the podcast too long, but so I guess for the sake of niceties, how about each of us says on a scale of 1 to 10 how good our holidays was?
I do want to mention
10.
Oh, wow. All right, she just popped in. Great. I'm going 9.
I mean, is the average holiday a 5?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Because 5 sounds so dismal, but I feel like it was a very normal holiday period for me. I feel like I'd say a 5.
And that's perfectly fine.
But 5 makes it sound like I had a bad time.
No. A normal holiday is great.
I agree. It makes it sound like you had a bad time.
If you call someone a 5, like if I'm like, Adam, you're a 5, you know, that's mean.
Sounds like you're negging me. If you call me, I feel like you're negging me. Maybe you're, you know.
Everyone's an 8 or above. And every holiday is an 8 or above in my mind.
This was supposed to be efficient.
Okay. Well.
8.
Wait, you're doing 8?
Yeah.
Now Ben says 8.
I feel like I have to go 9 then. But that's not really true.
Wow.
Ben was right earlier. But anyway, that's good. So welcome to Price, Utah.
You get so flustered.
I started playing the episode in the background. Price, Utah. That's where we start.
I feel like we also have to acknowledge that this is the first episode we recorded after getting to go to the premiere and getting to meet people in person and seeing the reaction online, because episodes 1 through 4 we recorded before any of them were out online. So it's really fun. It's been really fun to see everyone's reactions.
Did you see that Julie, the gate agent, found the show?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Julie, the gate agent in Anchorage, who got us on our flight to Seattle, found the show and commented.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely rocked.
That's so cool.
I saw the comment like when it came in, weirdly, which like I don't normally look at the comments, but I just happened to catch this one. And I was like, this isn't really Julie. Also, because she was so enthusiastic and Julie in person had been, in fairness to Julie, working a difficult and stressful job and had two people come up to us asking her for something very dumb. But she had been sort of a reserved person when we spoke to her in real life. But then her comment was like all caps with a lot of exclamation marks. So I was like, this isn't Julie. But then I like clicked on the thing and it was like the username was like Julie, whatever her last name was. And I looked at the account and it was like, 6 years old, had a picture of her, had like no videos or comments. And I was like, this is legit Julie. And it was.
It was her. Yeah.
Go Julie.
So for this episode, we open in Price, Utah, right? Or is it Helper? No, it's Price. Yeah, Price.
It is Price, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I mentioned this last episode, but it's more relevant to this episode. This is a route that I drive so much, which is weird for me. Like, I've driven through Price, Utah so many times and stopped at the exact hotel where we were filming the opening to this, which was the Holiday Inn, because that's where they have the Tesla supercharger. And I used to own a Tesla before Mr. Musk went off the deep end. Also before Rivian got good, but that's another topic. So I've been to like that literal hotel a bajillion times. So anyway, that was weird, but
home field advantage.
Yeah. The other weird thing that I want to acknowledge that we don't get here is by pure dumb chance, where we ended our day had a muffler man. A muffler man? Is that the right terminology?
A muffler man.
That is correct.
Yeah, the muffler man. And I guess the audience doesn't know a ton about those yet, right?
No, they are explained at the end of the episode very loosely.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah.
We can give a little more color, though, about what muffler men are.
Yeah, I mean, you probably remember better than me because one of you wrote this challenge.
Yes, a muffler man is a large fiberglass sculpture that traditionally was like holding a muffler, like a car muffler, in order to promote like an auto repair business in America. A lot of them are also Paul Bunyan sometimes. And they just sort of exist. Like one thing that we look for when we design like certain styles of jet lag challenges, which are like stop at a weird little thing, is like are they well distributed across America? And weirdly, muffler men are like all over the dang place, including like in regions like Montana and like North Dakota and stuff. They like have a decent number of them, which like we thought people might go through that region. So like it was a good ticket for most parts of the country.
Yeah. And Price, Utah.
And Price, Utah.
Actually, I think maybe Helper, which is right next to Price. But this is a town that could not be more remote. Like, it's basically the only town for, like, an hour north or south. And we happened to nail the timing in that we ended right in it and opened the day right next to, you know, something that could have gotten us a steel card, but ultimately not, unfortunately. But that would have been epic because that was, like, the only challenge that we would have been in a good position to do in this drive. But it was definitely nice luck, let's say. So, okay, what next? We run over to a wall. I guess that wall is relevant because one thing that was a big part of our strategy, but kind of maybe doesn't come through as much on camera, is how much we were focused on not letting Ben and Adam know what we were up to and what our strategy was. Do you want to explain why in a little more detail?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Sam, that our objective here was to make Ben and Adam think we had made the flight to Denver and that we were, by natural logic, headed to Colorado Springs for a couple reasons. Because the two key steel cards that had the potential to come up on this day were finding a muffler man and also standing where Elvis stood. And we knew that both of those are achievable in Denver, Colorado, and in Colorado Springs. So we thought that if Ben and Adam thought we were in either of those places, they would avoid trying to burn the deck to get to Steele's because we could potentially be closer to one of those challenges than they would. And in fact, if I remember correctly, in Colorado Springs, there was a way to hit a muffler man and standing where Elvis stood within a half hour or something. Like, it was very close to each other. And so we had thought that maybe Ben and Adam were pumping the brakes on attempting to get steals because of our like strategic mental chess we had going on. So assuming all of that and that they would have thought that many steps ahead and in the same headspace that we were thinking.
Which we didn't, which I want to be clear, we didn't. I didn't know that there were muffler men in Colorado Springs. I didn't know there was an Elvis spot there. Had no idea about either of those things.
Well, like even in Denver, like if you guys thought we were in Denver, would it have prevented you from going for steals?
Maybe. I mean, I would say were a lot less hot on the idea of grinding challenges and burning the deck than you guys were. I mean, I guess what I would say is like, if we had known you were in the middle of nowhere, which you were, I think we would have been more tempted to like, try to force up good stuff in general. But like, I think like at a certain point in the day, like, you know, once we got our card from the horse ranch and we had the Fly West card, we were like pretty set on our plan for basically the next like day and a half. And we were pretty much like, we didn't want to touch anything either. We were like, we didn't want steals to pop up. I guess like one thing I would say, again, we didn't know where you were, but like, the strategy of like grind challenges to get a good thing to pop up is not necessarily always good. Like, as we saw, you guys were grinding challenges to try to get the drunk card to pop up and then you didn't get it. So like, you did all the legwork to force up the challenge and then we took it from you anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think sort of after that had happened, we were a little like less interested in that strategy because even if you get the card you want to pop up, theoretically there's like a 50-50 shot that you get it. So like, why would you... If we have tickets that we like, which we did after a little bit, like we were like, well, let's let it rock. Like, let's not mess with it.
Yeah. I mean, we also just, we didn't have that much time. Like once we got all the tickets that we wanted to in Denver, we had to just go straight to the airport.
Yeah.
We were actually a little worried that that was going to end up being a problem, but we definitely didn't have like a lot of leeway to just blow through the deck just to try and, you know, disadvantage you guys.
Right. But I would agree, like, if we had known that they were in the middle of nowhere, we maybe would have been more willing to, like, just, you know, try to mess with them more, like, knowing that they couldn't do any challenges. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, there were stretches of this drive where we were an hour from even a gas station.
Right.
So there would have been a major advantage if we had kind of let slip that that was happening. Mm-hmm. The other key of why we really didn't want you to know where we were was because it would have been pretty obvious that we were going to a high altitude airport.
Right.
Because why else would we have done this? And if y'all had managed to get a steal and take our high altitude card, like that would have been GG.
Right.
Like that was a lot of the risk that we were taking. Like the airport that we were going to, Montrose, it had like one flight later in the day and it was to Denver. So like that would have been our only option. No good train option. No train options at all. We could have rental card a bit, but like competitively we would have been over. So that was another reason why it was so unbelievably key to not let you know where we were. And there was one small moment where one of you mentioned tauntingly something about like you're in the Uber to Colorado Springs or something. Mm-hmm. And to us, we realized like, oh, wait, that's perfect. Because like it kind of fits. Like it's understandable why you would have thought that. And that told us that you don't think that we're doing something weird like we were. And to us, that was like a great sign that, oh, this is actually kind of working. So we were very happy with that.
Well, I will say in our defense, just to be clear, your plan had been to do exactly what we thought you were doing. Like the only reason you weren't doing what we thought you were doing is that that flight to Denver was sold out.
Yes.
Well, I mean, sort of, I guess. Like that was very borderline whether or not we were going to do that.
What are you talking about that it was borderline? You stole our ticket so that you could get on the flight to Denver and then you tried to book it and then it was sold out.
It was, well, maybe this is like, we had some back and forth about whether or not we were going to do that plan. Like, of course, we ended up deciding yes, but like we were not between ourselves in full agreement about that. And we ended up, of course, agreeing with this plan. But yes, we likely would have done that, but it was definitely borderline. Of course, seeing that this plan worked out, it was ultimately a very good plan, but it was accepting a lot of risk. So that was basically our calculus with just like, we have a really good plan here that is very efficient in terms of card use, but it's taking on a lot of risk. So it was, you know, ultimately lucky that we were sort of like forced to do this plan because it didn't go wrong, but of course it had a lot of potential to go wrong.
Sam's admitted it. You've defeated him in the marketplace of ideas.
I didn't acknowledge which one of us advocated for which side for a reason. But okay, so y'all currently are in Denver Airport. Did that bring back memories?
Yes, it was a horrible start to season two. I don't like that airport at all.
No.
Yeah.
I think that Denver Airport is like the airport we've been to like the most. Wasn't that the answer? There was a trivia game where we had to answer this question. I think it was Denver.
On the show, we have been to Denver International more than any other airport. And now that probably still holds true.
Yeah.
Which is too bad.
Yeah, it's a good airport once you're through security. It's just the security is the issue. I was recently in downtown Denver, and I didn't remember this until the moment, but I stayed at the hotel that we stayed at the night before circumnavigating the world.
Oh my God.
And that was just like, I got there and I like walked outside and I saw the brewery or like the whatever where we met Joseph and got dinner the night before.
The like tap house. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like a flood of memories. Some good, some bad.
Yeah.
It was a wild experience just being like, tomorrow we're going to go circumnavigate the world. But
right. Well, and also yeah. Like we had done like, I don't know, this was like early in the channel, like before, like we knew if we had an audience. And also like, I think we spent less time prepping for this than we like would for a season these days. And so it was just like, all right, like, let's see how this goes.
Yeah. It was very just like finished work one day. And I was like, okay, gonna drive down to Denver to do this weird little project that we have.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Of let's go circumnavigate the world. I was also recently in Phoenix Airport a week or two ago, and by chance, my flight was boarding at the gate that was basically, like, I basically sat exactly where Brian and I sat when we ultimately decided sort of last minute to pivot and go to Boise in, what was that, Battle for America?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was season one, actually. No? Yeah. That was season one.
Go to Boy. Yeah, no, that would have been season one.
Yeah. Season one, yeah. And it was like, I sat in that seat and then it was a similar thing. Was like, wait a minute, I know what's happened here. And then someone recognized me as I was sitting there and I was like telling them like, the show was here. They were not as excited as I was. I thought that was so cool. It was like you recognized me in the spot where the show took place, the exact spot, but they were not as enthused, but they were very nice.
Has that ever happened to you, Michelle, that somebody has recognized you and then you've met them with an energy that was more intense or enthusiastic than they had met you, and then it weirds them out? Because I did that one time in a really weird circumstance.
I am always really excited to meet people. I think sometimes it can catch you off guard because it's like, oh, like me just like daydreaming into a window in my own world was actually an experience for someone else who was watching.
Right.
And to become aware of that suddenly is very shocking. And it can make you feel like, oh God, I've got to like be on all the time in a way. So sometimes just like being shocked into that is like, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you. Let's get a picture together. But yes, I have experienced many times where I'm like traveling in the airport, I look awful. And it's like, oh no, thank you so much for watching the videos. You're so nice.
One time I was going to a concert and for reasons beyond comprehension, a group of middle school boys pelted me with takeout containers full of Chinese food.
Oh,
yes, I remember this.
Physically?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was walking to the concert. I was meeting my friends there. Ben, I think you were coming. I think I met you there.
I was there, yeah.
It's true. Ben was there, but I was walking there and I had headphones in and I felt something impact on my back and it freaked me out. And I turned around and I believe it was stir-fried rice that had been in a takeout container that seemingly a tween of some sort had thrown at me. And then he ran across the street with his friends. And then they yelled, do you want to fight us?
That's actually terrifying. That's a life or death situation.
No, it's quite scary. And then the children started chasing after me. And it's a really unfortunate position to be put in because it's like I have two options. One is that I could fight the children. And if I beat up the children, then I've beaten up children. And that's bad. If the children beat me up, I've been beaten up by children. Also bad. So I decided to run away from the children. And then I got to the concert and then I immediately was recognized by somebody. And he was like a really chill dude. And he was just like, hey man, are you from jet lag? And I was like, dude, I have to tell you what just happened to me. And this poor man, because he was the first person I had seen. And so like, I had to get it out what had happened. So this poor man who just had like been like, hey man, are you from jet lag? I really like the show. I was like, dude, some children just attacked me. They threw Chinese food at me.
Wow.
And this poor man had to kind of be my therapist for a second while I worked through what had happened. Anyway, so yeah, we were in the airport, I think we were saying.
You were in the airport.
Phoenix Airport. You were in Denver.
Yes. We're at like minute five of the episode. We're doing great. but I mean, so then y'all, what are y'all, what happened?
We just do a bunch of stuff, you know? We just...
Yeah,
the flop happens.
Yeah.
Flop it up.
Adam puts some milk on his head. We go to a castle.
That was awesome.
Which part was awesome?
Which one? The milk on my head or the castle?
Both.
Thank you.
It was all awesome.
It was all pretty awesome what we did.
I like how Ben matches the pumpkins on the castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going for. It was seasonal.
Yeah.
And then we realize we're in the land of horsies.
Right.
We've got some time. We could totally get that flight west.
I like how our show is always themed like one season behind. It's like this is like the pumpkin season coming out over Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a perpetual issue.
Look, it's nostalgic.
Yes, it's nostalgic.
Well, we shot around Halloween, so.
We did, yeah.
But yeah, you know, and I mean, I guess the real thing to get to is like, yeah, I mean, our challenges were pretty straightforward. We wanted the milk because we woke up that morning. We didn't really have much of anything in our hands. So we were just like, let's grab some good stuff here. We snapped up Milkwalkie real easy. We go to the castle. We make the sword. We become knights. Very fun. And then the horses, we develop our plan, I guess, before we do the horses, right? Which I guess we should talk about what our plan was, which was quite a good plan.
Well, no. Well, we realized that if we could get the Flight West card,
the horses, then we would have to
execute on something really strong.
Which maybe we should go over what it was.
Wait, first, how did you get a horse so quickly?
Well, we're very charming boys.
We're very charming
and
boys.
As Michelle has shown on this show, you can talk people into almost anything if you're very polite.
Well, I gotta say, wait, is this the episode when Ben makes a phone call?
Do I make a phone call? I do make a phone call in this episode, yeah.
You do?
Big moment.
A phone call to whom?
I call the stables in this episode and they don't pick up.
But they didn't answer.
Yeah, but when I saw that, I was like, Ben's on the phone.
I'm on the phone. I actually love being on the phone.
I called multiple times too. We both called several times.
Well, but before we even found that place, I remember Adam called like an equestrian school and he was like, can we ride a horse for 1 minute?
I did.
And they were like, no. Like, obviously you can't.
They were like, no.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's true. We called because that place was not opening until for like 20 minutes or something. There was a place that was open that said it was open on Google Maps. There was like a school and we called them. And I was like, could we ride a horse today? And they were like, that's not what we do here, sir. They were like, you could enroll for a month's long course, but there's a waiting list, very long. And I was like, who would I call if I wanted to ride a horse for 5 minutes today? And they were like, it's not possible. And I said, all right.
It was not the vibe. Although immediately after they hung up on you, your reaction was that we should call them back because you feel like they didn't get it. And I was like, they're not going to get it. Those people are not going to get it.
I love the persistence, Adam. It's amazing.
Well, I hadn't explained it to them. Because the thing is, once you tell people that you're in like a race across the country, they really want to help you most of the time.
That's true. That tactic that you guys used was very successful for y'all whenever you said that.
I don't know if I should bring this up on the podcast. My hot take is that we should potentially make a rule where you're not allowed to say that.
Well,
that's just because you don't want to.
You just don't want to do it.
That's just because you're scared.
You're simply afraid.
Well, partially, but like, I don't know. I'm curious for audience opinion, actually, genuinely, because like there's an argument to be said that it's more interesting if you have to do everything without like leveraging the influencer card or something.
But I don't think that is the influencer card.
Well, sort of.
But how would you explain why you're filming? You have to explain why you need these things.
Maybe.
This is a leading request. Sam is a coward.
No, I said I'm open to opinions.
We will not bend to his whim.
Well, I thought the way that Adam and Ben phrased it was really smart because, yeah, I think there's a difference between like, hey, here's our YouTube channel. It has this many followers, like help us out. And then people are engaged because of that. But Ben and Adam were able to just say, we're doing a scavenger hunt across America. And everybody got it for some reason. Like everyone was like, oh, yeah, like you didn't even have to say how many followers you had.
I mean, that's the beauty of America is people don't ask too many questions.
Yeah.
To be clear, this strategy, for what it's worth, does not work as well outside of America.
No, we're still
Americans are very charmed by this idea. Other people are not. So I don't think Sam needs to be that scared of this strategy.
But it's fair. No, I mean, Sam, I'm open to opinions. If we were to get back an overwhelming audience response, which is we think it would be better if you didn't say what you were doing because it potentially like takes away from the purity of any traveler could theoretically make any of the moves that we're making, then I would consider instigating a rule. I would be surprised if that was the opinion held by the audience, but I would be interested to find out if it was.
Well, the basis of my hot take is like, I feel like when I watch The Amazing Race and they do certain things, they're able to do certain things because they have a massive camera crew following them. And it's clear that people treat you different in that situation than a normal situation. And I feel like when I watch a show like that, I want to see how you deal with it, not with necessarily bending the rules kind of thing, but dealing with it just with the more natural set of hurdles and stuff. That's my basis. But I'm open-minded. We haven't set that yet. I'm curious for opinions. I'm sure Reddit will love to debate this.
For what it's worth, I feel like we don't ever say it unless what we're trying to do makes absolutely no sense without that context.
Yes. But there's a lot of things that we do that make zero sense.
Like, what would we have said if we got to the ranch and we were like, we need to ride a horse for 5 minutes. And they were like, why? And then we just got really quiet and we just like looked at them and we were like, we just really want to.
You just really want to.
Right. I mean, my argument, frankly, is that I don't actually think that it usually makes people give us stuff that they wouldn't have otherwise given us. It just makes it so that we are able to be less rude.
Yeah.
Like we're able to explain, like, I know that what we're asking you for is quite strange. We're not trying to be unreasonable or weird to you. It's like for a reason.
Yeah.
Because I think like, again, it also explains the cameras.
Fair.
Otherwise it can be like very frantic and almost concerning. Like, what are you doing here? Why do you need to be on a horse for 1 minute? Right. What? Like, that can be like a little freaky.
Just give me access to your horse for 1 minute.
I just really liked horses. Anyway, okay, episode.
Oh, we should talk about what our plan was once we got the horse thing.
Oh, yeah, your plan. Oh, we are not. I mentioned at the start, it's been a whole month since we've recorded.
We're not doing good. We are not moving through effectively. Yeah, anyway, okay.
Rusty.
Okay, so the plan that we develop is basically fly to Milwaukee, get to Chicago, overnight train Chicago to outside of Pittsburgh. And then from Pittsburgh, ultimately what we decide is 450-mile flight to Charlotte, and then use the 1,000-mile flight west, Charlotte, directly to Key West.
Yeah. Who knew that Charlotte was one of the places that flew direct to Key West?
It's true.
There are not that many. There are not that many places. And knowing them is very important for the end of the game.
Very useful. And I mean, I can't speak to whether or not that plan is followed through on.
Yep.
But I will say, pretty good.
It's quite excellent. And I'm glad in the moment where I was already terrified and felt like a fish in a barrel in the middle of Price, Utah, waiting to be shot by Ben and Adam. I'm glad I didn't know this because I was already so anxious enough. But what an excellent plan.
Thank you so much. And it must be said, almost hit a snag on the very simple step of getting from Milwaukee to Chicago.
Yeah, we were cutting it close there.
Cutting it really close, getting a car to honk.
Well, what we realized is that the problem was that we were holding up a sign that says honk if you hate Chicago in front of a train that was going to Chicago.
No, it's going to Chicago. Yeah.
So presumably those people like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think that through.
What I thought y'all were doing for a couple different reasons was taking the train out of Chicago on a completely different route. I think this is the route to D.C. I think your route was to New York. Is that right?
I think
that train went all the way to...
I can check.
I think that train also went all the way to D.C.
That might be true. There's two different routes to D.C., so that could be right. But anyway, it's a different route.
I think it did go to D.C.
And it left at a similar time out of Chicago, like also in a period that you could have made it. And it seems so perfect. That's why I was so sure. It would pop you out just at the right time in, I believe it was Huntington, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a perfectly timed westward flight, barely westward flight from there to St. Petersburg, I believe, right?
Yeah.
That's near Tampa. Yeah. And then St. Petersburg is just like a 20-minute drive from Tampa Airport, and it's within the local transit zone. So I thought y'all were going to take an Uber to Tampa, and then there was like a perfectly timed connecting flight from there. But it all hinged on this one weird Allegiant flight out of a tiny airport. Ultimately, I think you said you just didn't notice that, right?
No.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I had looked at that train because that train is sort of hard to even know exists. It only leaves three times a week.
Yeah.
So we happened to be on one of the days where it does leave. And I had realized that and had looked at that train and considered it. But the problem was that airport is so tiny that I had not even noticed that that flight existed. Because like there are little weird regional airports all over the place that are basically like useless, not even like truly like local airports. And I just simply had not discovered that this airport like was a legit airport that would fly much of anywhere. Like,
yeah.
I just think that when I had looked at going to West Virginia, I thought that I was gonna have to drive to like, I don't even remember, like Cincinnati or something to fly out of, like.
Mm-hmm. Or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think I just had not found that flight.
Yeah, I mean, Allegiant flies to some tiny places.
I still don't know why that flight exists. That's a really weird flight.
Florida, baby.
Maybe.
Everyone wants to go to Florida.
Tampa?
Except for me.
Everyone wants to go to St. Pete?
I guess. I don't know. I don't judge.
Look, it was our fault that we were simply assuming that West Virginia was like a black hole.
Oh, here's why. Because when you go on Google Flights, because this is what I did. I looked from Huntington, West Virginia, and it only shows you flights from CVG, which is Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport. It doesn't even like show you flights for the most part from Huntington Regional. Like, which made me think that it was only CBG. It will show you Huntington Tri-State. No, it will show you some of them, but like it by and large shows you flights from CVG. And so I just assumed that was the airport that served that area. And I didn't realize there was a smaller regional one that only like had a few.
Flight Radar 24, baby. Primo source.
I know. But I had looked from Huntington. I had checked out Huntington.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't see that flight. But anyway.
Okay. But anyway, that's why it was somewhat surprising. Like I was pretty convinced, given that the timings just lined up perfectly on that route, I was pretty convinced that that was what y'all were doing. And that's why I keep saying that. What else happens? I mean, Michelle, we really don't see much of us this episode. Like, we're just chilling.
Well, I do feel like I need to speak about the cinematography of myself from the point of view of our car. I want everyone to know that I asked Sam if I could turn on the light inside the car, and he said no.
Is that right?
So that's why the footage is so dark.
Wait, why did you say she couldn't turn on the light?
Because then I can't see outside.
I just know the comments are going to be like, why is Michelle shooting in the dark? And for that, I blame the sun and Sam. But it is my fault when our heads are cut off. I'm so sorry. We were doing these really long rolls. And the way you guys shoot where you can't see yourself when you're filming.
Right.
And I'm used to vlogging on a camera where I can, which is still I take full responsibility for. Also, Sam is very tall. But those are my notes about the first part of the episode. And our POV is I'm very sorry to everyone.
I didn't even notice that.
Look, it's very dark. What could you do? Yeah. I think it's fine. I shoot with my head cut off all the time.
Is it true that it's illegal to have those lights on at night? Or is that something that my parents just told me because they thought it was annoying?
The latter.
Okay.
There are so many memes of like when you're driving somewhere with your family and you turn on the light and then your dad like freaks out. I've seen so many of these memes.
The classic.
Of driving dads.
Well, because you can't see. I understand.
Sam is driving dad.
Yes. Anyway, okay. You guys get to Montrose and then you fly to Dallas. Mm-hmm. The real thing that you need to talk about is...
The planning.
You do all this planning that we don't really see and you develop a new strat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically why we drop off the face of the earth. For a couple hours.
Because we're basically in Google Maps for 2 hours. I mean, yeah. And this is something that like, I feel like, you know, it doesn't make the show because it's not interesting to watch making spreadsheets and stuff, but it is a lot of the behind the scenes of it, which was cool to experience. But man, Sam and I basically did advanced calculus trying to find the best way to min-max our options in Dallas. And the premise of our technique was knowing that the two most important cards, aka the only cards we would really want to go for that day, were the Muffler Man and staying where Elvis stood. And so we did a ton of research to try and find out where the Muffler Men were all the places Elvis stood in Dallas, Texas, and how could we get to either of those? And so we found a way, because when we landed, neither of those cards was yet on the board. Mm-hmm. So we figure, okay, let's go to a location where we can do some challenges in between the two and burn cards until we get one. And then from there, we're equidistant, like within 20 minutes of either an Elvis spot or a Muffler Man. But getting to like strategize and do all the cartography associated with that was a multi-hour process that was in the airport and continued on the plane. We were running so many permutations of what could happen constantly.
But very, very useful because like we got to a point where we understood every possible option to get between Dallas and Key West basically, and really felt like we got to that understanding. And we kept having, I'd say, breakthroughs even when we were on like hour two of research about the rather small tactic of just how do you get between those two places. So like it was kind of useful in a way that we had that pause as we just waited for our flight.
I miss playing against Brian. He was never doing permutations of anything.
Yeah, that's so true. That dude never permutated once.
Not once.
No. Bring him back. Third season with Brian. The people want Brian.
Some people want Brian.
Well, it's funny too, because like I remember when we were in Chicago, we split into like, I was trying to find places Elvis had been in Chicago, but Ben was being like, could they find one in Dallas? And we basically came to the conclusion, no. We were like, I can't find a single place that Elvis was in Dallas, which speaks to the fact that, like, having done so much prep that you had found this, like, kind of brilliant workaround of, like, he was in a now torn down arena, which is now a field that we might be able to go to. I don't know if that implies too much that you succeed in getting to the place.
No, I don't think so.
I think in the episode, we do find the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to it. Yeah, you go to it in the episode.
Yeah, we go to it. Okay.
But like that level of prep.
But obviously, it's unknown because there is a fence up when we get there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we texted back and forth about this a little bit, but like we realized at a certain point that like based on how we worded the card, like the only interpretation was you had to be like exactly where he was.
But it didn't have to, yeah.
Yeah, not like outside the venue or something.
Right.
And we realized that that makes it a lot trickier because like how are you going to get on a stage?
Exactly.
And it's much harder to find a location that Elvis has been that's not a stage. So yeah, that's why this was so crucial and why we felt reasonably confident about that. Of course, as you see in the final moments of the episode, we did not get this on camera, but in our Uber ride to this location, I remember making a little joke to Michelle because I thought about like, oh, open field near downtown Dallas. What's the likelihood that someone has started?
Oh, no, this is on camera.
Oh, it is?
That you mentioned there might be a fence? Yeah, no, it's in there.
And I think it's in the episode.
Yeah, you do talk about the fence.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I thought that was when the camera was not rolling.
No, it's in there.
Oh, well, anyway. Yeah, I realized halfway through this episode that this is the one that I... What was happening? There was some reason why this was one of the episodes that I did not review the final cut of, which is why I'm very rusty on what happened.
Oh, yeah. I think you were just really busy or something.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, it was right before some travel. But yeah, so that's why I've been rusty. But I feel like we said most of the things.
Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah, I feel like I can't say too much more without...
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the trickiest episodes for spoilers.
Yeah.
We've probably, unbeknownst to the audience, or maybe beknownst to the audience, there's been like 6 or 7 things that we've cut out because we realized there were spoilers. But you know what that means.
Next episode is really interesting. The end of the game really did not play out in the way that I thought it was going to play out in the moment. And
no.
Perhaps it will not play out the way that you think it will play out. You'll just have to see.
Well, on that cryptic note, we'll see you next time.
And in fact, we'll see you next time.
For the finale of, what do we call this season?
Season 8.
That's right.
Who will make it to Key West?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.